All right, so we're at about 1:30, so we'll give people a couple more minutes to shuffle in. People having a good tech ed so far? Yeah? Foundation session's good? Keynote? Good? I think we've got some really exciting stuff coming in the next release of Windows, and I'm really, really excited to be able to come up here and share some of the hard work that we've been doing in Hyper-V. My name is Taylor Brown. I'm a program manager on the Hyper-V team. I've been on the Hyper-V team for over 11 years now. Starting off as a tester, I used to do all of the testing for first networking and then storage for a virtual server. Then I worked on the hypervisor, the UI, the management stack, a number of other areas in Hyper-V as a tester. And then I moved into doing enterprise validation testing, working with customers and partners to make sure that we developed great solutions that work for our customers. And now I'm a program manager on the team. And the areas that I primarily focus on are backup and recovery, as well as live migration and storage migration. So my Twitter handle, Hyper-V_TaylorB. You're more than welcome to reach out, contact me. My email alias at Microsoft is taylorb@microsoft.com. Always more than happy to hear feedback, questions, and try to help folks out. So we're here today to really talk about what we're doing to enable building reliable and scalable backup solutions for Windows Next. And we've done a bunch of really great work in this area, or I believe really great work in this area, to ensure that we had a fantastic backup platform for customers and partners to build on top of. So as we get started, I just kind of want to level set and go through some of the history of kind of where's backup come in terms of Hyper-V, and where are we starting at? So if we kind of look at the way that virtual machine solutions were built before, we had a number of hosts. They were connected to a SAN. We had a bunch of VMs running on them. You know, it started off with 10, 12 VMs. Now we're into 30, 40 VMs per node. So things have kind of, they've really changed. But to date, backup really hasn't. So, we had a backup agent that we installed on every single Hyper-V host. So every time we added a new host, we had to install a backup agent, had to configure with permissions, networking, make sure it got deployed, updated, all of these kind of things. And our partners have done some great work to try to, aid that, but it's still, a painful experience. And then every time we wanted to take a backup of a VM, we ended up creating a SAN snapshot. That's really the way that most backup solutions were architected. So as we get into the world where we now have hundreds or thousands of virtual machines on a cluster, every time we back them up, we're creating a SAN snapshot. Some SANs behave pretty well with that. A lot of them have scalability challenges. Most of them, as we start getting into the thousands that we're doing hourly and twice daily backups, really start to have challenges with that. And we're impacting the virtual machines on every virtual machine across the entire SAN when we do a backup, or at least every one that's on that one. Right, so in kind of review, we got some challenges. We got an agent on every host. We've got these agents that invoke the Windows VSS framework for each VM. So every VM that's on the box has to go through the VSS framework. It results in at least one SAN snapshot for every single VM that's there. Right? And the LUN then has to be mounted and data copied off of it if we want to archive it somewhere less expensive than our production SAN. Right? So some of the challenges, right? We often has to have a SAN to be efficient. There's lots of data being copied, copying a huge amount of VHD. Requires deduplication on our archive storage in order to be efficient. And it really impacts our virtual machine mobility. If we storage migrate this virtual machine from one place to another, now we have to reconfigure our backup policies to capture that LUN and track where that is. It just becomes a pretty big challenge. So the next evolution that we kind of saw in the backup realm was change tracking. Right? And so let's look at what change tracking typically, how that works. So we've got some raw data. What is the best city? And we do our initial backup, and we capture what is the best city. Now, when we write some new data, Barcelona, we know that those blocks have been changed. There's an in-memory bitmap that says, some blocks got changed. I'll just keep track of what blocks changed. And so then we do our next backup. We only copy the stuff that changed. Okay, so quite a bit more efficient than if we copied the whole thing twice. And then we can merge that in, and we've got a merged version of it. So this was a pretty big evolution. This really helped a lot of the problems with requiring a SAN, because we could reduce the amount of data we're copying. It helped us with efficient backups. But it had some challenges, too. you know, it became really critical to have these kind of solutions implemented in order to have an efficient backup solution. It was critical to any solution that didn't have a SAN. But every vendor had to go implement their own. And it's pretty difficult to do. It was a it's a filter driver, typically in the storage stack. So if you screw it up, you just messed up all of the data that someone wrote. You've got huge, you know, huge challenges there. It can be a performance impediment if it's not done right. So, you know, it became a big challenge. And a lot of our vendors did a really good job of building these. But every time we got a new version of Windows, they had to go back and recertify, revalidate, retest these change tracking filter drivers. And they caused a bunch of problems with power failure and mobility scenarios as well. So for an example, so we've got our same thing, and now we write, you know, the next thing. It's amazing, right? So what happens if we had a power failure? Well, it's an in-memory bitmap. We just lost the bitmap. We don't know what's changed when that host comes back online. So we have two choices. They're both pretty bad. We either do another full backup, copy, capture all the data, or we have to go try to do checksumming and try to rebuild this bitmap in memory. So these are not very good scenarios. You can see why these kind of solutions present problems for virtual machine mobility. We found a lot of cases when we live migrated or storage migrated VMs, the change tracking filter drivers got confused about what blocks had changed when that virtual machine was running. And again, they'd have to go do this checksumming process. So presented a number of problems. So we looked around and we asked a bunch of our customers, what are the challenges that they're seeing with Hyper-V backup today? Right? And we got three answers that came across most often. We heard reliability problems. I start some backups and sometimes they fail and sometimes they succeed. There's scalability problems. I've got a bunch of virtual machines and when I try to back them all up, the thing falls over, the cluster fails, the virtual machines slow down, any number of scalability challenges. And then there was performance problems. You know, I had to have a bunch of extra storage in order to enable backup, and backup's just something I require. These kind of resonate with you guys? Yeah? We also heard that, you know, this agent business is kind of a problem. It's a challenge to manage these agents. I've got to create passwords, and now I've got to go change passwords, and now I've got to go update all the agent passwords, and it became a challenge. And we've started to move in this world of disaggregated storage. It's not a matter of saying, well, I've got an EMC SAN, and that's the only SAN I'm going to have in my data center. And maybe I've got two or three of them, but they're all the same. And so I can buy an EMC backup solution or something that works well with EMC, and I'm good. Well, no, now we've seen I've got a SAN over here, and I've got a file server over there, and I've got local storage here. And finding solutions that work with all of them is difficult. And so you're stuck with either I buy a different solution for different parts of my environment, or I find one solution that happens to meet the majority of the requirements, if you're lucky. So that's become a challenge. And then we did some great stuff in 2012 R2, and we introduced guest clusters, but there's no backup solution for them except running it inside the VM. Yeah, that's a problem. And then again, this impacts on virtual machine mobility. Okay, storage migrate VMs to load balance, and now I've got to go do a full backup, and I've kind of lost a bunch of the value I had in that solution now. We also asked a bunch of our backup vendors, hey, what problems are you guys seeing? And we heard the same three come up over and over again, reliability, scalability, and performance, right? So this tells me that their customers are telling them the same thing they're telling us, which is good, but it means we've got a problem we need to go solve, right? So as the number of VMs per volume increase, well, we're doing volume snapshots, they're all impacted. That's a problem. Parallel backup support. Like we just didn't have a good solution for parallel backup support. Space overhead. Every time we create an AVHD and it runs for a long period of time, we've got space overhead that gets created out of it. And then there's a performance challenge. Every time we want to copy a full thing, we've got to copy the whole VM. That's a performance problem. Or I have to implement this change tracking filter driver in order to eliminate that, and that's problematic for us. So with all those in mind, we've got a renewed Hyper-V backup. We've really gone all the way back to the beginning and looked at what do we need to do to make Hyper-V backup successful. And so the first thing we did is we looked at what are the pillars that we need for success. What are the things that are just not negotiable when we go through the development process? And the reliability and performance and scalability were the three table stake pillars that we set for the team. And so as we went through all of our discussions, these were the non-negotiables. If you told me I could get feature X, but it was going to cost me some performance, no. We'll do feature X later. Focus on the performance. focus on the reliability, focus on the scalability. Let's build a solid foundation, and then we'll add things as we need to on top of it. And I think that really set the stage for our team in terms of what we needed to do to make a great backup solution. And actually, as we went through that, I actually found that we really didn't have to make that trade-off very often at all. For the most part, the features that we needed, the primitives that we needed in the platform, were the things that drove these pillars. So what were our architectural goals? We wanted it to be virtualization-centric. So we wanted it to treat virtual machines as virtual machines, not as things that had virtual hard disks that could be on volumes and dealing with volumes. No, a virtual machine is a virtual machine. You back up the virtual machine. If it has three VHDs attached to it, great, you take care of all the VHDs. If it has one VHD attached to it, you take care of the one VHD, but you don't go to each volume. It's a virtualization-centric solution. We wanted something that could be completely agentless. All of the APIs should be remotable. They should be network remotable. They should be able to run from cross-platform. No need for an agent. And no need for a custom change tracking solution. We wanted to implement our native Hyper-V change tracking solution in the platform that all of our partners and customers could benefit from without having to develop their own. And by doing that as a native solution, we can solve a lot of the challenges that traditional change tracking solutions have had. It had to be storage efficient, not just in terms of space utilization, but also in terms of the I/O overhead. Right? If every write cost 3 because we were mirroring it somewhere else and changing something over here, that wasn't going to be a solution we could use. It had to be an efficient solution for I/O overhead. And then at the end of the day, we also really believe Hyper-V is a platform. So we want to provide primitives that great solutions can build on top of. Whether that's someone building a solution in PowerShell for small, medium business on their own, that's fantastic. Or whether that's DPM or Veeam or Commvault or NetApp or EMC or Symantec building a fantastic backup solution on top of it that does mirroring and replication and all sorts of great things. We wanted to enable both of those kind of solutions. So we kind of took a look at, you know, what is backup? What does backup really constitute? Well, it's capturing a point in time with a known consistency level, right? So at this given point in time, we know that we're consistent at an application level, or we're consistent at a crash consistent level, or we're consistent at a file system level. And then it's extracting and archiving that point in time in such a way that it can be restored in the future, right? So we archive it off somewhere, we can always go back to that consistent known point in time. And when we looked around at Hyper-V and what primitives we had, we've realized that really virtual machine checkpoints kind of fit the first bill with some tweaks needed. And export and import really fit the bill for the second area, again, with some tweaks needed. So we're introducing new functionality and checkpoints. This is new functionality that's coming in Windows VNX, specifically recovery checkpoints. These are a checkpoint that is specifically for backup and restore. We're also leveraging it for things like replication internally, right? We've got defined consistency levels that you can use on these. You can say, I want an application consistent backup or checkpoint, which is going to invoke the VSS service inside the virtual machine to get that application consistency. We've got file system consistent. So this will work both in Windows and Linux, where we've got our file system consistent filter driver in Linux. And in Windows, we will use it without invoking the writers in the virtual machine. So we've heard a lot of scenarios where there was some bad writers in a virtual machine. Now we can work around that. And crash consistent. There are scenarios where you just want a crash consistent state. It's not a Windows guest. It doesn't have any sort of VSS turned on. You don't want VSS. Fine. You can get a crash consistent as well. We're also introducing reference points. This enables an efficient incremental backup. And we'll go into exactly what these mean in a minute. And then we've got new functionality in export and import. Notably, a differential export. This allows us to export the virtual machine and the configuration between two points in time, between one of those reference points and a consistent point that we have now, and just take the differences. What changed? Did we add another VHD? Fine, we'll get the new VHD. Did data just change on the underlying VHDs? Then we just extract the data that's changed. So this allows us to go back and forth in time very efficiently with only representing the changes that have occurred. Previously, when you imported a virtual machine, specifically a snapshot, it always had a different ID, a virtual machine ID. Now, it's caused problems in SCVMM and other tracking solutions because it looked like a new virtual machine. Now we're giving the flexibility and control to say, no, I want it to use the exact same ID that it had, or no, I want it to have a different ID. So this enables us to have lab scenarios where you might want to restore, do a test restore of a virtual machine and give it a new ID because it's just going to be temporarily used for testing, or to say, nope, this is actually the authoritative production restore. Keep the same ID, keep all the same history and state that went along with it. We're introducing virtual machine groups. This is a mechanism that allows us to group virtual machines together for things like guest clusters and distributed applications. And groups can span cluster nodes. So you can have a 64-node cluster. You can have a virtual machine on each node. They can all be part of a group. And we will allow you to be able to do checkpoints against the group, which will orchestrate a checkpoint across all the virtual machines that are in that group, including if they have a shared virtual hard disk attached. And they can be exported as a group, and they can be imported either as a group or as individual virtual machines. So if you had a guest cluster of four nodes, and you just really wanted to restore two of them because you're just doing some testing to see what happens if you change some settings in the cluster, fine, just import two of them. Either way, you can import them all, or you can just import a few. There's complete flexibility. And we're also introducing the resilient change tracking. And so this is our native change tracking solution that we're building into Hyper-V as a platform. And we call it resilient because it's got a few key features. So it enables the efficient tracking of the change blocks within a virtual hard disk, and it's our underlying engine for differential export. But if we remember back to change tracking, we had this problem of a power failure or a migration that happened, and we lost that change tracking bitmap. That's really what we've gone and solved with resilient change tracking. So again, we've got our raw data. We perform our initial backup, same thing. But now, instead of just having an in-memory bitmap, we also have an on-disk bitmap. And the on-disk bitmap has a much coarser granularity because it's used as a fallback mechanism. So if we go through our example again, the first time we write some data, we see that we mark ones for each of the blocks that have changed. And we do that both in the in-memory and on the on-disk representation. But the on-disk representation is much coarser grain. So then we do our incremental backup. We can merge that together, so we've got our merged state. Now when we write the next set of blocks, instead of just saying one, we actually use a reference number. This allows us to reference both point one in the timeline as well as point two. And we also incremented our coarse granularity checkpoint. So if we had a power failure and we lose the in-memory state, we still have that coarse grain to fall back on, right? So when we do our backup, because we can fall back on that coarse grain, we can say, we still know what changed between those two points. Maybe we get a little extra data, but it's a lot better than having to go check some and do a full backup in order to recover that state, right? And this is native in the platform. This is gonna be coarse and part of Hyper-V going forward. So let's look at what our new workflow looks like under the covers. What are we building to here? So we've got a full backup. We'll start off and we'll say, I've got a running virtual machine. It's on my production server. It's got a virtual hard disk attached to it. It's just running away. Life is good. Now we create a backup checkpoint. So this is a consistent point in time where the virtual machine's configuration is forked, and temporarily we fork the virtual hard disk as well. So temporarily we're running off of an AVHD. And we need this point in time because we need a way to reference that base virtual hard disk without it changing underlying, right? But it's a short period of time. The same thing would happen in most backup scenarios. We'd end up using VSS and we'd have a volume snapshot, and it'd be writing changes off to another section of the disk, just kind of under the covers. We're doing the same thing with an AVHD. We're accumulating our changes there for a temporary point in time. And then we do our export. And so now what this results in on our recovery storage is we've got our base virtual hard disk, and we've got a virtual machine configuration over there, right? So we've got a point in time to go back to. But then we convert that checkpoint into a reference point. And what this does is it immediately merges the virtual hard disk, the AVHD, into the base virtual hard disk, but it keeps that sequence time. It keeps the notion of what point in time during that virtual hard disk's timeline were the changes last made. So any new changes, including all the changes in the AVHD, we're gonna mark those with that one. We're gonna remember that those are new. And our reference point simply refers to that RCT ID, that Resilient Change Tracking ID. So it refers to one. It says, yeah, in that base virtual hard disk, the point in time that I represent means one on the virtual hard disk. If you had two virtual hard disks, it would remember both of them. All right? So now as we go forward, we get into our incremental backup. We're starting from the same spot. Right? We've got our exported virtual machine and our recovery storage. We've got our production virtual machine running here. It's got this reference point. Reference point just simply refers to a point in time. There's no AVHD, just one virtual hard disk. And it's the same process as a full backup now. We create a checkpoint, a backup checkpoint, which gives us a consistent point in time. So now we've got T2 being referred to there. And we've still got a reference point. But when we do our export, we export between T2 and T1. So we use that resilient change tracking ID as the sequence. We go to the base virtual hard disk, which is at a consistent state right now, and we just extract the changes between those two points in time, along with the configuration. And the configuration can either be configured to point at the AVHD that we automatically generate. So when we do that export, we actually generate a differencing virtual hard disk. That's what we use to transport it. And it can be either configured to point to that or the base. And we'll get into why that we put that option in there in a minute. And then when we're done with that, we convert the backup checkpoint to a reference point again. So now we've got two reference points. They both refer to different IDs on in the RCT. So T1 might say, hey, I know about point one. T2 is point two. So you can understand the differences between those two points. So now if I wanted to, I could do another backup checkpoint. I could say, yeah, give me the differences between T1 and now or T2 and now, either way. So if I want multiple backup solutions to run together, that'll work fine. You also have the ability to just delete the reference point that you don't want anymore. So you know what? I'm never going to refer to T1 again. I can just throw it away. So the reason we added that option is that a lot of our backup solutions do what we call a synthetic full backup, where basically on the back end, they synthesize what would look like a full backup. So they would go off and do this merge in the background and use their own change tracking techniques to say, this is a full VHD and this is a full VHD. They both represent points in time, so I can restore them very, very quickly without having to do any sort of merges. And we wanted to make sure that solution worked as well. So what does a restore look like? Well, we've got our virtual machines over on the recovery storage. It's really as simple as doing a copy over. Just copy the configuration of the virtual hard disk and doing an import. And when we import it, we can do whatever operations we want as part of the import. We can change the name, change the configuration, change where things are located. You have complete control over what happens to the virtual machine at import time. But it's really just a matter of importing it. The other thing that's enabled by this is if you had a really efficient solution, you could actually import it from the production, from the recovery storage, get it started up, and then do a storage migration over your production storage. So you can do an instant restore. Right? We're just building on top of the primitives that exist in the platform, which enables even more scenarios to come out as we go forward. So what about our friends with SANs? Right? I've got a SAN. Like my SAN. It does really cool stuff with snapshots, and it's really efficient. Well, we haven't left them out of the game. So let's take the same kind of scenario. I've got a running virtual machine. It's got a VHD that's on a LUN somewhere. I want to do backups of it. Well, I still create my backup checkpoint. So I still create that consistent point in time. And that temporarily creates that AVHD. And when I export, I only export the configuration. I don't export the virtual hard disk. There's a flag that we put in to say, just give me the config. I don't want anything else, just give me the configuration. And then we do a LUN snap. And so this enables our backup vendors to either use their proprietary network-based volume snapshot capabilities, they can use SMIS providers to do a snapshot, they can use VDS-based providers to do a snapshot. Whatever technology they want to use to make that snap, that's fine. They just plug it in to create that snap. And then instead of converting it to a reference point, because I don't need it, I've got my reference point on the SAN, I just simply delete the checkpoint, the AVHD is merged away, and I'm done. Restore looks very similar. So we've got our config, we've got our base VHD, we resync the LUN back, or the resync the file back if you've got a file base granularity SAN. We copy our config over to a production server anywhere we want. And we do an import of the virtual machine, pointing it back to VHD that we restored. That's it, right? So we've built a bunch of primitives to really enable an efficient solution for any one of our partners or customers to build on. And so with that, I actually want to kick over to my demo and show you what this looks like for a customer doing it. So this is how simple it is. I've got a couple virtual machines here, and they're both paused right now. So I'm going to resume both of them. And these virtual machines are running a little PowerShell script inside of them that I called iogen. And all it does is just write out a bunch of random stuff to some files, and every now and then deletes the files and writes some more random stuff to the file. So we're consistently applying some level of load and change to the virtual machine. So let's say I wanted to take a backup of virtual machine one. Well, I wrote a little PowerShell module called Hyper-V Backup. And if I open this up and see what's inside of it. And I'm going to be posting this on my blog, which I've got a link to right after this session, so anybody can grab it and play with it. But it's just a bunch of PowerShell. Most of it's error handling. And it just calls our Hyper-V WMI. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to, first let's show you VM1. So this is all VM1 is right now. It's just an OS, virtual hard disk, and a virtual machine file. And let's go ahead and say new VM backup checkpoint. Give it the VM name, VM1, and consistency level, application consistent. Sounds good. And I want to save the output of this. So this is going to return a checkpoint object when it's done. So we'll go ahead and create that. So it's creating a checkpoint. You can see it's still running away. And as it's creating that, we see we've got our AVHD, and we've got this new RCT file. So the RCT file is that coarser grain tracking that we've got for the virtual machine. And so this is created at six megs. It doesn't grow beyond that. It just stays at 6 meg. And it's just there to track those changes over time. All right, so our backup checkpoint's created. We can even see it in the checkpoint window here. We're going to change the icon to make it a little different, so it'll be known as a backup checkpoint. So that's done. So now, if I want to go export VM backup checkpoint, VM name, VM1, destination path, say d:\backups, VM1, full, and backup checkpoint is the one I just took. All right, so that's running. And if we go look at our backups folder, see VM1 full. It's got a virtual hard disk that it's copying over right now, and it's got some configuration that'll copy over in a minute. So while that's running, let's back up another VM. Remember, this wasn't possible before, right? We only allowed single backups at a time. But we'll back up another one. So I've got VM2. And VM2, I took a backup of it earlier. It's already got a backup. It's got a reference point on it. So we can see all we've got is this RCT file running. And we can see that the VHD is growing. It's about 9 gig. And if we go to our backups folder, we've got a full backup. And there's our VHD. It's about 8 gig at that point in time. So we've done some pretty decent I.O. to it. And it's got a configuration inside of it. We're going to be announcing tomorrow our new configuration file extension, VMCX and VMRS. These are new configuration formats that we have for virtual machines. So stay tuned for Ben's session tomorrow on that. All right, so let's take a backup of VM2. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get the reference point from the last time. First thing I'm going to do is import the module. So reference point equals get VM backup. Get VM reference point. VM name, VM2. All right. So if I go look at what that is, it's a bunch of WMI goo here, but it's a reference point from today at 4:43 a.m. Redmond time, so about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. And we can actually see resilient change tracking identifiers. That's those sequence. So there's one, right? So it's got some extra goo in there, but that's all it all it's storing. That's all that's in that reference point is that information. All right? So like I said, same process as last time. So we'll say checkpoint equals new VM backup checkpoint, VM name VM2, consistency level. Let's do crash consistent. Why not? So there we go. We're creating that. And if we go look at our VM2 file system, we see that we've got our NavHD created, and it's getting some changes on it, but temporary. So now we just do export VM backup checkpoint, VM name, VM2, destination path, Delta 1. So we pass our checkpoint that we created and our reference point that we got earlier. So there we go. So remember, we had about a gig of data there. There's Delta 1. So we actually captured less than a gig, even though there was more than a gig changed. Well, that's because we overwrote some of that data from the last backup. So now we're done with that. And while I do this, I'm going to kick over to that guy. So let's see what happens when we delete the reference point or convert it. So convert VM backup checkpoint. There we go. And it's gone. That's how short-lived the AVHD has to be, right? And if I had that written running as a script, it would have been a second, 2 seconds maybe for the AVHD that's there. So we're really only tracking those changes in that file for a very short period of time. All right, so we've backed up that virtual machine. Let's go ahead and finish this guy off real quick too. So this was our first one. He's done backing up. So we'll do a convert VM backup checkpoint. So he's merging. It takes a little longer because he was running off that AVHD for a little longer period of time, but it's going to happen pretty quick. So now we've backed up our two virtual machines. Well, what happens if I accidentally turn this guy off and, oops, deleted my virtual machine? That's kind of a bummer. I can actually do a restore from the Hyper-V Manager because it's just an export. So we'll go over to our D drive, to our backups, VM2. Oops. There we go. So we want to import VM2. We're just going to register it in place, use the same ID. Now it's going to say, hey, where's the parent virtual hard disk for this virtual machine? It's not right next to it. Where is that? Well, we just point it back to the full that we took initially. So where's our full backup? Virtual hard disk. There it is. Next. Finish. There we go. That was a restore. Right? Start it up. I'm back to where I was. So again, what we really tried to enable here is a solution that our partners could build on top of and make great solutions with all sorts of great UI and tracking and replication and all these things, but also a solution that customers could build on their own for small scenarios, data center scenarios, that, you know, under the desk scenarios. And we believe that with the primitives that we have in Hyper-V already and extending those, we've built a solution that really enables our customers to have that kind of an experience. So to kind of go to conclusion, again, we had some major pillars for success. We really wanted to make sure that we had a reliable solution that was performant and scalable. And so as we've, you know, gone through and looked at this, because we're virtual machine centric, if I've got 1,000 virtual machines across the cluster, I just go to the cluster and say, where's the virtual machine? Create a checkpoint of it. I don't have to worry about if it's on node 1 or node 2 or node 5, or if it got storage migrated in between from one SAN to another SAN or one LUN to another LUN or one SMB share to another SMB share. It doesn't matter. I just create the checkpoint of the virtual machine. Because we have change tracking built in, if the virtual machine had been moved around, the change tracking follows it around, follows the virtual machine around. So we just use that change tracking ID. As long as I can get back to that point in time, as long as somebody didn't delete the reference point, I can always get back to that point in time. It doesn't matter where the virtual machine was. Right? We want to make sure it was performant. That's why we built resilient change tracking underlying. We built it in the virtual machine storage stack, because otherwise you have to have this filter and you have to try to work outside of the virtual machine. So as we do things like compacting virtual hard disks, or as we do deduplicate virtual hard disks, or as we change file systems, right? We've been talking about ReFS for a long time. As we move to things like ReFS, all of those things are going to work natively within the platform. We wanted to make sure that we had something that was robust and reliable. And the best way we could think to do that was to build it into the virtualization platform, not require something like VSS to play a part in that on the host, where, yeah, VSS is great, but it was built for scenarios like backing up a SQL server where I have 2 databases, maybe 5 databases on a machine, not 128 or 256 virtual machines that are moving around constantly. It was never really architected for that, right? So we got a couple call out. So the first thing is, I want people to try it out. Give us feedback on this, right? The tech preview build is available for anybody to download. And literally at the end of this show, the session, I'm going to go post that blog live with all of those scripts in it. Grab the scripts, play around with it. At some point, we'll probably make those scripts native to Hyper-V, but for now, we've got them as scripts. Give it a try. See what you think of it. Does it work? You know, use it on the machine under your desk. And then start talking to your backup vendors. Right? We've been talking to a number of our great backup partners about this technology for a little while. Start asking them, hey, are you guys going to implement your solutions on this? Now, we're not walking away from the solutions that worked before. So if you had a backup solution that was working on 2012 R2 with VSS, it's going to keep working in Windows Next. We're not deprecating that support. We're going to keep that alive. But this is really our path forward. This is the direction that we're wanting to go in. Right? This is what's going to enable us to do great things with backing up in Azure and backing up on-premise. Right? Azure doesn't have anything about a volume. It has virtual machines. As we try to converge those scenarios, this is really going to be our path forward on how we do that. So ask your backup vendors, what are they doing with this technology? What are they doing? What are their plans for it? What's their roadmap look like? I think a number of them will already be able to tell you, yeah, we're planning it. We've got a bunch of other really great related content throughout the rest of the week. So Ben gave a session, or is giving a session right now, on software-defined compute. We've got some sessions on networking, doing a bunch of really great work in networking. Software-defined storage. We're introducing a bunch of new quality of service metrics and things like that in storage. Fantastic stuff. Ben's giving a session tomorrow on sneak peek into the next release of Hyper-V. We're going over all the new things that we're building into Hyper-V. There's a ton of little stuff and a bunch of really big things that we're doing in Hyper-V. Tomorrow I'm giving a session on upgrade and what we're doing with upgrade. So kind of got alluded to in the keynote this morning. We're allowing for mixed version clusters now. What does that mean, and how is that going to help with Hyper-V backup? We didn't, or Hyper-V upgrade. Session you're in right now, building scalable and reliable solutions. And then we've got our quality of service and an architectural deep dive into the Microsoft cloud. And we've got a couple sessions on 2012 R2 as well as Azure. General resources. Oh, I was supposed to delete that box when I was done. So please do remember to fill out evaluations. It's very helpful. And with that, questions. I saved a bunch of time because I expected there'd be questions. No questions? Go ahead. Do we utilize backup compression? So we're doing a couple things. There's a couple ways that we're looking at compression. So once we get it onto the recovery storage, we hope that's a Microsoft server, where we've got full deduplication support. So we can use deduplication to do all of that work. And over time, we're going to optimize that even further. So I alluded to some of the RUFS work. There's more work coming around that to try to do optimizations. Yeah. Any integration with which? With any of the vendors? So we're working with a number of the vendors already on this. I can't speak for them on their timelines or when they're going to have solutions, but most of the big vendors we've already been working with, they've already been, we've been working with them on what we're building and making sure it's going to meet their solutions and meet their requirements. So I do expect that you'll see solutions coming from a number of them fairly shortly. Which software products will be using it? So we certainly are not building something that only DPM would use. I fully expect DPM will be a great partner for it, but I expect we're going to have partners from all the various teams. Veeam, Commvault, NetApp, EMC, Symantec, all the main backup vendors are people we've been talking to quite a bit about what we're building, why we're building it, how we're building it, and making sure that it's something that works really well within their suite of technologies.
What about DPM?
So we're talking with the DPM team. I can't speak for their team specifically, but we expect that they'll be a fairly early partner for all of us.
That is actually my question.
Okay, yeah. As I said, call out is talk to your backup vendors. So the DPM team's here. Ask Sharish. Sharish is the GPM for DPM. He's down on the show floor. Ask him. Veeam's here. Ask him. Really at the end of the day, it's the customers that drive a lot of the changes to products, right? Other questions? You guys have been great. Thank you very much. Like I said, we're really excited about the technologies we're bringing to bear here and really looking forward to getting feedback from folks on how it's working for them.